Everyone faces questions and decisions that require insight and answers as we move forward personally, professionally, and corporately in all areas of this thing we call life in America today. Hello, this is Joe Schofield, and I invite you to tune in every Monday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. as we talk together and hear from key leaders of all ages and backgrounds about your questions. Interesting, informative, intuitive, but always encouraging. Tune us in on BBS Radio Network.
Join Pastor Joe and co-hosts Commander Rob Hansen, Nancy Hansen, Dr. Paul Hall, Stephanie Thayer, and Dr. Craig Thayer in Raising Expectations.
Raising Expectations. And as we always say, you know why we're here. We want to encourage, strengthen. We are people of great faith, and we're thankful for the way we can come together like this and lift one another up, at least like it says in God's Word. So we're glad you're with us tonight, because you being with us is something we never take for granted. We appreciate each and every one of you. Thanks for the texts that come in, and hundreds of you have responded in the last 3 or 4 days to feel the words that have gone out. So a couple of quick announcements here. And I'm going to do something a little different. Got a phone call this afternoon. I called all the folks. They're going to be sharing with you here a lot tonight. And our special guest, Richard Ray, who many of you in our Texas audience know, is in a national senior adult baseball championship. And I don't know if he planned they were going to make it that far or not, but they did. And so they won. And he was so apologetic. And I said, Richard, it's okay. It's okay. We'll be just fine. And so he'll be with us November the 1st. So that's coming up pretty soon. He'll be back with us with his new movie script, which has now been taken care of, copyrighted, and they're looking to put it on the air. It's being read now. It's called Heaven Awaits, written from some of the situations he found people in when he was one of the lead reporters before he became an anchor at Fox 4 News in Dallas. So you'll enjoy that. It's going to be great. So tonight, going to do this a little bit different. We've got such a great lineup coming up. I just can't wait to tell you, the next week we've got probably the top financial man in the nation that you'll find that is a great believer and can help you in so many ways. He's going to be sharing with us, Ron Cabezud from Walnut Creek in Northern California, the Bay Area. And so I won't take the time now, but just hang on to your hat. We're excited to share our friends with you. Now, our team, I'm going to do something different. I'm going to introduce them quickly, and then I'm going to ask them to go back. I know that Paul has been talking and sharing with God all week and getting ready. He's been, what's the key word, guys?
Theologing.
Thank you. See, everybody knows it. I just went blank. Theologing. Every once in a while, I have to prove I'm a senior adult. And that came in really good because we got a great team. But anyway, he's been theologing all week. We have on our team, a very special team of co-hosts, Dr. Paul Hall, who's a retired pastor and a great theologian. More than that, a great friend who shares from his heart. When Paul shares the word of God, it's done in such a loving way that people just respond to him. We went all through college together, and the school is still there.
Still there.
So, right, Paul?
Only better.
Only better.
Now that we're gone.
I still live it now, yeah. So in any event, I'm going to come back to Paul in just a second. We also have with us, as you know, Dr. Craig and Stephanie Thayer. I'll go back to them in a minute, too. Craig is a surgeon. He's a doctor. He's a deacon. He's a man of God. He loves God. He's a witness for Christ. And he's our brother in the Lord, another one we thank God for. And Stephanie, his wife, who we explained with you how she got him last week. That all worked out well. Stephanie is a health and wellness coach and knows how to get us all in shape and keep us that way on the outside with what we eat and how we live, and on the inside with who we are with our relationship with the Lord. So this is our team, and the newest member of our team that you met last week, and we're so excited. He's our brother in the Lord all the way from McKinney, Texas. Pastor Ron Greer, who is, you name it, Ron's been there. We've all got different backgrounds, which makes it fun. Ron is a Marine. He was a fireman. He ran for United States Congress. And he's done just about everything. He's a great Bible teacher, and he's a great discipler of men. So I think Stephanie probably went and found him for us because she looked at Paul, me, and Tank and said, I need help. So we brought somebody to help the men to kind of help us to grow. And I just made that up, but you knew that already. So anyway, I want to go back to Paul. Then I'll come back to Stephanie and Craig, and then I'm going to go to Ron. And I think it would be really great. Tell them a little bit about yourself again. People are always asking me, and you tell them just a little about yourselves like we all do over a cup of coffee. And just take a couple of minutes, and then we're going to kick it around. Paul, could we start with you, brother?
Sure, sure. Happy to oblige. Thanks for the invitation. I am a retired pastor. I pastored for 55 years. Still have a house church that I enjoy very much. I was born in San Antonio, Texas, at Fort Sam Houston, but I grew up in Southern Illinois, moved to California in 1965, and I've been here since 65, with the exception of a couple years I lived in St. Louis, and I've had the joy of pastoring a number of churches down the coast, starting in Santa Rosa, California, all the way down to San Juan Capistrano. And then I went to St. Louis for a couple years, and then came back out to Lompoc, which is the home of the Vandenberg Space Force Base. Pretty exciting kind of thing like that. I have a great, well, that sounds a little arrogant. I didn't mean it that way. I'm in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. He changed my life. He sustains me every day. And it's been a joy. The greatest joy of my life has been able to spend my life caring for people, loving people where they are, encouraging them, discipling, preaching, doing all the things that pastors do. So that's my life in a nutshell. And now living in Lompoc, California. Most people don't know where Lompoc is, but if you look at a map of California, it has an elbow. California has an elbow, and we are right on the tip of that elbow. That's where Lompoc's located. So happy to be a part. It's a joy every week.
Yeah, we love and appreciate you, brother. Long time. Great time. Hey, well, all right. Hey, Steph, ladies first, and then Tanks, tell a little bit more about you.
I was going to make him go first because that makes it easier for me.
Oh, that's okay. Whatever you want to do.
Okay, I'll go. So I was born and raised in California, in, you know, Southern California, sunshine, blonde hair, blue eyed little girl. And my parents wanted, my brother and I to have a little bit more space and less city. And so we moved up to the country close to Tahoe. And that's where I've been my entire life until May, when we just moved across the country to Georgia. So had, awesome growing up. I did go cow tipping as a kid. That was a real thing. Like, those were the kinds of things that we did. I would walk miles into town. I've never had an issue, never was worried about where I was going or what was happening. And my parents were always pretty involved in church. And so it was quite normal for me. And I think, like a lot of people, I went off to college and I just wasn't so interested. It wasn't that I didn't have a faith. It's just, you know, you're consumed by all these other worldly things happening. And then I graduated early and I started working, and I just knew I needed to go back. And we met a few years after that. But I really believe that my purpose here is to show people that God has given them a beautiful uniqueness, and that the more they press into God, the more He will help them shine as they are. We spend so much time comparing ourselves or idolizing, you know, sports people or entertainers, and that's them. That's not you. You're supposed to be you. God made you you for a reason. And so if we stop fighting this, you know, who I'm not, and really embrace who we are, I think that's going to go very, very far. We have 5 kiddos. 2 are still at home. Been homeschooling, which I never thought I'd do, for 8 years now. And health coaching was a God thing. It just became a ministry, not what I ever thought I'd do. I run around after this guy and try to help keep him scheduled and stuff. But that's, we love the outdoors. We're a really active family just because it makes me a nice person. So pretty passionate too about learning differences because we have ADD, dyslexia, giftedness all in our house. And so I think men tend to see the whole world, right? You guys focus on the big picture and the mamas, we usually focus on the small things. So I am the only female voice here right now, which makes me a little bit nervous. So that's all.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
Well, we do have a female dog, but yes, in this house and also on this panel. All right, go ahead.
Thanks, Steph. Thank you.
I was hatched in Monterey, California. Which is somewhat of a miracle because my natural mom lived in Michigan and began to show in the early 60s. And she was Catholic, and so she ran to Monterey, California. And
she was unmarried.
They were engaged, but he wasn't going through catechism quick enough, so she abandoned him. And he gave her some money to take care of it. I was born in Monterey. She had me for 10 days and then gave me up to an orphanage and adopted 9 months later. So part of the stipulation of the adoption was that I'd be raised Christian, mainly Catholic. The mother who adopted me was Irish, pure Irish Catholic. She was born in Cork, Ireland, and came to the U.S. when she was 21. Wow. Married my dad after a couple of years. Then they couldn't have kids, and they adopted me and a sister who's 2 years younger than I am, not from the same family. And I just lived this Providence Cork. That sums it up. So a high school that was one of the top 50 high schools, and the only one that was public. So I was just in the right spot at the right time. Went to Davis for undergrad, biochem major. So I learned the world in a molecular level and how we function at a molecular level. And then I went into med school where I learned how the body functioned at a cellular organ and whole system level. And I knew I wanted to go into medicine because when I was 16, junior in high school, I took an anatomy physiology class, and that was it. The human body was just so incredible. I already knew I liked to help people. I tutored 2 blind students in geometry, which is a vision mathematics, so it was a challenge. But it also helped teach me to be an empath because I had to very much put myself in their shoes and go, how do they see a ball? They don't. They have to feel it, right? So bring in a tennis ball, have them trace triangles, all that kind of stuff. So, and then I was blessed to get into a residency in general surgery, which is the most saving life branch of medicine you can be. At that point in medicine, it was not so much now, but it was like being a general contractor. You had the electrical system and drywall and plumbing and all those things. So, yeah, I learned how to throw a hole in people's head if they had a big clot in there, or open someone's chest and put a finger in their heart if they've been shot in the heart, or take out a breast cancer, or, you know, take out an appendix, ruptured aneurysms, that kind of stuff. So just a blessed life. And clearly God wanted me as a servant from day one, though I'll tell you, Satan attacks your most important things. And so I've been through a storm, which is kind of what my shirt says.
You've been through a lot of storms.
Yeah.
It's an into the storm.
There we go. So, so I just have been obedient in the storm. So I know when the battle's bigger than you are, God's got to take it over for you. So, I was gone parts of this program. I was back in California when Steph was out here. That's because I needed to close loops in California, and my grandmother was dying as well. So I got to be there for her to pass. And I just look at God's got a purpose for everything that's happening. So
that's right.
As long as I keep my eye on that, I'm fine.
Amen. Well, I can tell you something, Tank or Craig. Sometimes I don't know whether their nickname is Tank. And so then I say, should I say Craig when we're on the show? But Tank's okay. Yeah. We have a gentleman who will be with us again that you know, Dr. Robert Buckingham. He's one of the key doctors you know more about him. You've read a lot of his things. He's up for the Nobel Prize again. But one of the main, the chair, whatever you say, UCSB Medical, University of California, Santa Barbara. And he'll be back with us the end of the month. And he's just a great guy. And he said, I just put the invite and called him again today, just text back before the show. He said, and tell those guys, I'm so excited you want me to come back. I love being with those folks. And he said, that's a brilliant, brilliant young doctor that you have. I'm so impressed with him. So, Craig, there's your testimony going out, and you don't even know.
I wrote him a big check.
I did. You should feel good, because when he got down the list. Yeah, he's my good friend, but when he got down to me, you should be impressed with what he said about you, because when he got down to me, Paul, he said, yeah, and Joe, I'm glad you did. I'm coming anyway. So really, that was good. Just kidding. What he said about you, that was absolutely awesome. So we're great. And he's anxious to meet Ron. And hey, Ron, thanks, Tank, for sharing that. We love and appreciate you, bro. And Tank, your Tank. Ron, share a word with us a little bit again. You shared some last week, but we still have folks that say, hey, who's this Ron guy? He's really neat. Share a little bit about your life.
Now I can't remember what I shared last week.
Oh, that's okay.
The age is kicking in. That's right. No, I live in McKinney, Texas. Been here about 14 years or so. I'm still declaring myself an actual Texan. Took me a while to get here, but I rushed here. But we spent 4 years in Orlando, Florida. And then before that, Madison, Wisconsin, the People's Republic of Madison, I call it. But I grew up in about an hour away in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and moved to Milwaukee from a place called Jackson, Tennessee, when I was about 10 years old. But I am second out of seven kids, hardworking parents, you know, never really kind of had much. But we were pretty much on our own by ourselves as kids. That's mom and dad was both working in factories. But it was, it was a different time, and you could leave kids home all day by themselves. Unfortunately, times changed, and I ended up spending a lot of time during the late 60s with a lot of Black radicals, Black Muslims, and Panthers, the Black Panthers. It was just a weird deal, and I bought into a lot of the rhetoric and narrative about white people and Black people and racism, on and on. But eventually became pretty passionate about the whole racial thing. I spent a lot of time in elementary school fighting. Actually, I think I was told I set a record for suspensions for fighting in fourth grade. I haven't talked about it in a while, but. I still remember the principal, Mr. Herman Goldberg, was his name.
Good friend, yes.
To this day. that's how often I was in his office. So I ended up getting a new junior high school, and my mother threatened my life, and I was actually managed to go through the first year of junior high without a fight. And I ended up science teacher, Mr. Stawicki, took me on his wing, he actually let me sit in his classroom every day so I wouldn't get in trouble. But it helped me through school. And I ended up, we put together this weird plan together where we were going to show everybody, because I thought school was stupid. And he actually convinced me as a kid somehow to take extra credit and go to summer school. So I ended up graduating a year early from high school. And I was eligible to graduate a year and a half early. I ended up... wanted to get out of the ghetto and leave Milwaukee, and just happened to stop by a Marine liar's office one day. Some people call them recruiters. But stopped a Marine recruiter, and somehow I got smitten by the idea of being out of the ghetto on my own and seeing the world. But got into the Marine Corps, and didn't go too well for me because I was still a young Black radical. It was the 1973 and the anti-war movement, the whole Black radical movement was at its height, and I had difficulty in the military because they didn't go for the punching and fighting thing at all. I eventually ended up in a place called Beaufort, South Carolina. They call it Beaufort now, I hear. And I ended up trying to kill a chief warrant officer because he's a white man that touched me. And so I ended up in a general court martial, facing 32 years and 9 months in prison. And by a miraculous grace of God, somehow they couldn't find anybody that actually saw me or whatever the deal was, that I actually did what I did. So I ended up getting 18 months at heart labor, reduction in rank. And the prosecutor petitioned the court, the judge advocate general, because he was upset he didn't get the time he wanted. So instead of going to the Navy prison in Portsmouth, Virginia, he petitioned the court to send me to an Army prison in Fort Leavenworth, Kansas, because he said he wanted to make my life H-E-L-L for the time I was there, because he didn't get the time he wanted. And I was angry and still full of rage, and got to Leavenworth and decided I wasn't going to cooperate. I wasn't going to be a nice guy at all. And so I was there. They kept me in solitary confinement for quite a while. I stayed in my cell 23 and a half hours a day, every day. Eventually got half a brain and decided if I would act halfway civil, they might let me in the main population. And sure enough, they did. But while there, I became Balandimu Hudari, kind of recruited by the black Muslims there. And so started studying Islam and praying with my fellow brothers and the imam three times a day, and reading the Quran, well, the part we could read. And so anyway, got fooled into that because I found that it kind of codified my hatred and my anger. A few months later, they announced the Bill Glass Crusade was coming through and had no intentions of going, except the day it came, they said you were going to be locked in your cell for a security lockdown during this whole event if you weren't signed up to go. And we somehow, another miraculous thing, convinced the guard at the gate to let us go out, even though we weren't signed up, two of us. But ended up didn't really get much out of it because they kept talking about Jesus. It was Bill Glass and Roger Staubach, some karate master and a black pitcher from Houston. I wasn't a sports fan, so I didn't know any of them except for Staubach. My father was a sports fan. But they kept talking about Jesus, and I left before the thing was over with because I got sick of hearing it. But on my way in, some young volunteer white guy started following me, my friend, and talking about something. And they set us on a bench to watch us. And he was talking, and all of a sudden he wanted to pray, and I prayed if he wanted to. But somehow in all of that, the next few days or so, my situation became heavy on my brain. I ended up realizing I couldn't sleep. My hair was falling out. Just realized my life was horrible. And I ended up on my bunk in my cell saying that, okay, God, if you're real, man, get my head straight. And I woke, went to sleep, went to get something to eat, and came back and felt light as a feather, and told him that if you keep doing this for me, you keep my head straight, you keep this heat out of my head, you can have anything I got, my very last breath if you want it, just keep my head straight. So that was my initial commitment to the Lord. I went and got a Bible and start reading all over again. And it started reading me. And God slowly transformed my hatred and my bigotry and convicted my heart. I went back and adopted my Christian name again, got rid of all my Muslim Islam things and my associations, and was on fire for Jesus in the prison after that. Anyway, left Fort Leavenworth in 1977. Got back home, decided I wanted to be involved in ministry. They said, no, you're an ex-con. So I just started hanging out with people, sharing the gospel. We eventually got serious about praying about our lives. They had just gotten married in 79 and got miraculously again, gave me a job as a firefighter in Madison, Wisconsin. And I was on that job for 19 years until I was fired in 2000, I believe it was. But during that time, 19 years, I was a pastor of a church for 7 years, an associate pastor of another church for like 5 or 6 years, but did prison ministry for 23 years and aftercare for 18 years, and have been involved in discipling men ever since 1982, 83, somewhere in there. So still now involved in ministry again, Man in the Mirror, where I train and teach and encourage churches and pastors to develop effective strategies for reaching men, discipling those men, and then making those men disciple makers.
And well, this is awesome. Yeah. Go ahead, Hank.
I want to read your book. You need to write a book. I'm serious.
Maybe make a movie.
I have a couple of friends who've been hounding me for a few years to do that. And I started it, just haven't worked much on it. Steve Farrar is one of those guys. He still, every now and then, he still gives me a hard time. I'm committed to doing it. I just got to slow down to do it.
It's all coming. It's all, God's got it. Yeah. Well, you know, ladies and gentlemen, or family, or I don't know what to call you, ladies and gentlemen would be proper, I guess. But this is kind of what thrills me. Like you just said, Ron, there are a lot of places you can go and hear people talk. There's a lot of places you can watch TV, radio, podcasts and things. And the thing I really appreciate about these people is they've all come down roads. They've been tested by the fire. As Malachi says, they've had the dross burned off of them because they looked to God and they trusted God. And the greatest time to trust God is when you don't have a single answer and you haven't got a clue what you're going to do next.
Yes.
And when you take your hands off of it, all of a sudden he says, okay, I got this now. Mm-hmm. And Ron's life, and since I've met him, has been this way. One of the great guys we had on the program said, you need to meet Ron. He'll change your thoughts, your life. He'll be a great friend to you. And boy, that was Captain
Alan Clark.
Captain Clark from West Point. We had him on the program, and he said, you get a hold of Ron. So when you tune in, even when we have a guest, we always go to that guest with questions that, like Ron said, come from different backgrounds. And now, you know, we have one lady. She's going to go double time and share all these things. She's ready to go. Don't worry. But we will definitely be able to come and share questions with you. And then when we start bringing you in on the phones, as we go, that's coming down the line. We're going to bring you in, let you ask some questions. You'll get to know the people. We want you to be family. And from the texts and notes that I get from you, that's what you feel like. And that blesses my heart because I've been around a long, long time. In fact, back when Moses and I were kids, sorry, Paul, it wasn't that long, but way back when we used to think about this. Dr. Sands, the founder of First Baptist Church, that he worked there in San Jose, one of the co-founders of the Conservative Baptist denomination. He said, when he was up there at Wheaton, he said, you know, Joe, someday you're going to realize I wouldn't give a wooden nickel to have leaders, let alone people in my church that haven't been run over, parked on, crushed, pulled up out of the imprint they left in the cement, and staggered towards the curb saying, thank you, Lord, I got it, I'm with you. That was one of my favorite quotes Dr. Sands used to share. And, you know, everybody's going through things in today's world. And Sunday morning, Dr. David Jeremiah there at Shadow Creek, he said very clearly, things are rough right now. You're going to be seeing that from some of the people we bring in and things that the guys and gals will share with you. But they're going to only get a little bit more rough. But we have someone who walked on the water and calmed the sea. And the Bible says, built the world. He knows what he's doing. He knows he's in charge. And we just need to look to him. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Ron. Appreciate that. We're so glad to have you, brother. Glad to have you on our team. Paul, Tank, I'm glad.
Yeah.
Joe's next, but before Joe goes, this time, I'm just going to say, you can't minister until you administer too.
Say that again, Tank. That's great.
You can't minister until you've been ministered to.
There you go. Amen.
Okay, so Joe, it's time to brag about yourself a little bit. Let's hear about you.
Yeah,
I was going to kick it out to all of you right now. I was ready to kick it out to you. That's what I was going to do. Yeah, Stephanie, you can have the first question when it comes time because ladies always get to go first. So, yeah, anyway, very quickly, I've been around a long time. Paul and I go way back together. Paul Hall and I, he's closer to me than if he's my own brother, which he basically is. And we feel the same for Tank and for Ron, and it's such a blessing. When I was young, you know, through athletics and things like that in high school, different things that I did, way back when we ran the single wing in football. That's a long time ago. But in any event, I wanted to be an entertainer. So I got my first guitar. Paul knows this very quickly. And I started singing my guitar, writing songs, this, that, and the other. And so I ended up singing with Glenn Campbell and Frankie Lane, a bunch of guys that are gone on ahead of us. Most people don't know who they are anymore. It just reminds me the grass withers and this changes. And Jesus said he's always the same, and he is. So some of the things we think are so important really aren't that important later on. We get into life. And then I went back and went into seminary, went into back to college, to Hardin Simmons University back in Abilene, Texas. That's where I met Paul Hall. And we used to go out as a tank, as a team, to sing and preach and sing all the time on weekends. And this guy, we just did so many things together, either in my old GTO or his really convertible Plymouth Fury. We had so much fun doing that. Oh, do we have stories we could tell, but we got to keep this program aboard. But anyway, that we had a lot of fun. We really did everywhere we went. And so he's one of the greatest blessings in my life. All four of you people, and of course, Rob, Nancy, too, there's been a blessing to my life. I was in the ministry. I pastored churches. I pastored just about every area from kids. I had a youth group in San Jose. I had about 700 high school kids. I had a blast. We put albums, traveled across the nation, called Sunshine. I had a 14-piece band back in those days. Used to love it. You don't know what a trumpet is anymore, a trombone. But anyway, we had great bands. And then I went on and to become a senior pastor in time, worked with single adults and just about all areas of the church. Grew to love them all. The church is truly the bride of Christ. And like Ron said last week, we need to pray for the church. The church needs to get the vision back that God had for it. And that's, as Tank said, touching the lives of people and reaching out where they are. And pastoring those churches really taught me an awful lot. Went through some things in my life, went through a divorce and a couple of things like that that happened in my life. And you know, you look back and all you can do is say, Lord, I did the best I know how to do what you asked me to do. And at that point, you move forward a day at a time and you learn what the grace of God is really about. God's riches at Christ's expense. You know what faith is? Cross it on your hand. Faith is forsaking all, I trust him. And when we come to those places where we have to forsake all to trust him, all of a sudden the grace becomes more powerful. The faith becomes more wonderful. Enough about me anyway. So that's where I am now. Did some radio, had a good radio program in Dallas. And now by the grace of God and the guys at BBS Radio TV Network, we love those guys, the twin brothers. They're just incredible guys. You know, Don and Doug. And, of course, TJ, Don's son, is our engineer. And we're reaching out everywhere we can. And we're cranking into a whole new era of what we're going to do. So that's enough about me. Each week, I have the privilege of bringing to you these people and the guests that we'll have. And I think you're going to be blessed in a very, very special way. I know they bless my life. So it is, and I'm just going to say this once, so I don't want to say this anymore. People make donations to this program. That's how we're still here. If you lose us, there weren't any. No, I'm just kidding. But here's the deal. We all decided last week none of us were any good at this. So I'm just going to, I guess it falls under my leadership. So it's my turn. I got to do this. You go to bbs.com/raising expectations, and you'll see the page. I know a lot of you follow the archives, and you've told me on texts and things. I appreciate those so much. It's right there. If God leads you to donate to us, we just take it by faith. I don't know what it is or where it comes from, but God's going to do it. And there's some people that are just wonderful people that have started giving for us. And we're so thankful for that. So that's where that is. Now, that's enough. Looking at this wonderful group of people, I just want to throw a thought out to you. Last week, we talked about the church. Ron brought some things up. Paul had some thoughts. We're talking today. Stephanie, you and Tank may have a thought. I'm backing out. Who wants to take a turn? Let's just wrap a little about. We got a good 20 minutes, 15 or 20 minutes to throw out our thoughts, perhaps on the church or something you'd like. Somebody take it. Go ahead, Steph.
I mean, all my topics are super light. so, you know, I'd love to chat about, I know COVID is at the forefront for a lot of people and your freedom to choose or not choose. And everyone is very passionate one way or the other. And it's okay as long as you agree with their thought. And we've been talking about this the last couple of days and just going back to scripture is our moral compass. We don't get to pick and choose what we want, you know. And we actually had a pastor that was talking about President Jefferson, like, cut out sections of scripture. I didn't know this, but there was a slave Bible that had things cut out because they didn't want them to have relationship or have freedom or know that they were equal, right? So there's a lot of danger, and the same with religion, you know, where maybe a pastor and authority, oh, you don't need to read your Bible, you know, and it's very scary. And I can see some correlation what's happening with our government, and it's very disheartening to me. So that is my very light topic. Would anybody like to say anything about that?
That's a good one. Better up.
We're going to throw it to Paul, the theologian.
The specific question was what? About this, what?
His thoughts on a freedom of choice for your body, and then even freedom of opinion, and maybe how that's being impacted right now.
Sure. Mm-hmm. My personal opinion is that, and $5 will get you a cup of coffee at Starbucks. But my personal opinion is that the freedom of choice appears to be the issue. It really is. I think that the trouble that we encounter seldom comes in with a huge bang. It just walks on cat's feet. Yeah. And little by little, it's chipped away and chipped away and chipped away. And it appears to be under the guise of a good thing. Okay. And if we're not well versed in the scripture, if we're not hooked up in redemptive relationships with other believers and checking these things out and getting good counsel, it's easy for us to fall into the holes and into the traps. Yeah. And that's why I think this wonderful thing about church and the common thread that we have with the scripture, but also the fellowship we have with one another. I don't think that any serious minded Christian feels they can do it alone. we need each other. And all the information out there is so confusing, this and that. And, I do believe that there is a great effort to divide and to keep us divided, to keep us away from each other. Yeah. And, the scripture says that there'll come a day when we'll call right wrong and wrong right, and it'll make perfect sense. And, I struggle for our children. There's a real battle, going on for the minds of our kids. Mm-hmm. And to see the things that are going on, and of course the government's response to that. I heard a history teacher say today, and I'll be quiet after this, but I heard a history teacher say today, and I thought it was pretty bold. She said she lost her job because she refused to get a vaccination, so the school district fired her. But she said, as a history teacher, if I haven't taught my children to question the government, I haven't taught my children.
Yes.
And I thought, wow, because I was a history major in college and loved history, but you don't have to go back very far in the late 30s and see what was going on in Nazi Germany and going on in Italy and the countries that were related to them. We're just walking the same path.
Yeah.
And, it's a scary, scary thought, and that's why we need to keep our hearts strong towards the Lord and with each other. We keep sharing life because Curtis LeMay, who Air Force General, you probably know the name. He was responsible for the Strategic Air Command. Mm-hmm. Curtis LeMay said the biggest mistake that our bombers made early in the Second World War is that they didn't stay together. And if they didn't fly in a pattern, if one would break loose and be out there by themselves, he said it wasn't anything at all for the fighters to knock them down. But mm-hmm. together, they were a formidable force. They protected each other. They helped each other. So that's my thoughts about that. I do believe that our rights are, it's not necessarily that they are being taken from us. It is that unsuspecting people are yielding them without critical thought. That's a scary thing.
Good point. Yeah.
I heard something today from Romans 10, 17. Now I'm a doc, so I'm going to go over some physiology here. So faith comes from what is heard, and what is heard comes through the message about Christ. And like what Ron said and Paul, you know, the church needs to bring the truth, 100% truth, and 100% love, right? So when you're talking about something that people have chosen, I don't need to believe that, you got to tell them, look, it's 100% truth, but I'm not judging you. I still love you. I don't care, you know, what you do. And that's hard. But that said, if it's our ear, our physiology of hearing is how we get to faith in Christ by hearing the word, then when the reverse happens, when we listen to media that's negative, incorrect, false truths, that taints our brain the other way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Jesus said there'd always be people, you know, he warned us. He said there'll always be people who say, come this way, walk this way, you know, and the deceivers, you know, Satan is, I believe that Satan is absolutely relentless. You know, he is a formidable foe that knows ancient ways that have worked very, very well, and he mm-hmm. will not relent that. And we are engaged in a battle every day, you know, a battle for the mind, battle for the heart, you know.
Ron, before this kicks over to you, Paul, Colossians 2:8, what you're saying right now, what Tank said, the word says, see to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy, empty deceit, according to human traditions, according to elemental spirits, philosophies of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him who is ahead of all rule and authority. That just reminds me of what you guys are saying. Yeah. I got to hold on to that. Yeah, Ron, did you have a thought?
I would concur that we are constantly reminded throughout Scripture that Satan is an enemy, is a foe, he's a mighty foe, and mm-hmm. from day one with Adam and Eve to the day we're called back, he is constantly roaming around looking for ways to deceive us, to accuse us, to confuse mm-hmm. us, to divide us. Those are all his trademarks, and so we live in a time that is no different. And I think part of what gets us here, because this is a historical cycle we've gone through, right? Every time that we become prosperous and comfortable and so forth, we kind of shoo off God and say, okay, we got it from here. We don't need you anymore. And then, and of course, we go back, our sinful nature comes in, and then we have all this chaos that reigns. And Satan uses that. It's a perfect, kind of perfect environment for him to start ravaging people. And I, you know, and the church is no different. You know, again, these things we're showing in Scripture are a lot of things that God's people did, right? Same thing. They became comfortable. They became arrogant. They became lax, and they followed other gods. So I don't think there's anything different now as Paul alluded to. The Scripture warns us over and over again. There are lies and there are false teachers and there are schemes and all sorts of things that come about toward us, but the same Scripture tells us to always be on our guards, to always watch, you know, to watch your doctrine, you know, to stand firm in the faith, you know, don't lose track of what the word says. Same way when people came across in Joshua, they're, hey, listen, you know, be strong and courageous, right? Be careful to make yourself aware of everything that is written in this book, in the law, and pay attention to it. Practice it, study it, you know, think on it. Why? Because then you will prosper. That was you'll enjoy the benefit and the relationship with God that he wants you to have. Mm-hmm. If you keep your eyes on this and not on the other stuff around you. And we there too often we pay attention to the culture, and the culture influences the church. And then when Satan, who runs the culture, seeks out, you know, finds our weaknesses, he attacks. And we buy into it. I think I mentioned last week, the thing I keep harping on the folk who I teach and other folks who I talk to, stop listening to the world. And it's constantly name me one thing, one significant thing that you've gotten from the world that benefits your growth in the Lord. Mm-hmm. Okay. If you can't point to that, okay. Then what else? Everything else that you get from the world has to be questionable also. And no matter mm-hmm. what they say it is, I'm always looking, trying to read between the lines and looking behind the scenes. People think I'm a little weird. No, I don't trust the media. I don't trust government officials. I don't trust anybody with any kind of influence or power at all. Why? Because I know for a fact Satan works effectively with them. Yes. And power corrupts people. It's our human nature. We want to lord over people. So, no, I'm always wondering what the motive is. As far as this chaos we have now, I'm of that age. I told you back in the 60s, right? So we had this whole radical movement. We were proudly proclaiming ourselves Marxists because mm-hmm. we were in part of an oppressive system of government that was predicated on color and class, and that it needed to be torn down. And until it was torn down, you know, the poor, you know, downtrodden, oppressed are never ever going to be able to enjoy the life that we should have. So you tear the system down. All right, well, how do you tear it down? Well, you overcome the system. Mm-hmm. Well, okay, we thought that meant, you know, you ferment violence and terror throughout the country. When that failed, everybody got the impression that, wait a minute, okay, somehow that's not going to work. Well, there was this Cloward and Piven back in the day, the Professor Cloward and Professor Piven, excuse me, her husband, who came with this brilliant idea. Okay, it's not about crashing or destroying the system through violence. You're never going to get there. However, if you overwhelm the system, if you find ways of overwhelming it where it just breaks, then we accomplish the same thing. You right. tear the system down and you build it back. That's what revolution was. You're tearing down a system and building back something. And I have no doubt in my mind that that's what we're seeing now. Again, because of my experience back then, there are times it actually amazes me how many people and how quickly people have fallen for it. But it astounds me how quickly Christians have fallen for it when we're now advocating in our churches some of the same satanic Marxist philosophy and ideas. Mm-hmm. You know, it's same with the thing with COVID from the very beginning. It's make my head explode because none of it makes sense. If you have a medical background, if you have emergency medical background, I have a hazardous material background and biohazard background, you go, all right, none of this makes sense. It has to be something special about this created virus, or someone's lying, because viruses don't float around the air and you breathe in. And if they are floating in the air, a mask is not going to help you. I've had a number of people go to this, do a simple experiment. If you think it helps you, take a swig on your cigarette, put the mask on, and then let it come out. And this, you see smoke coming through the mask. Yeah. How much smaller is a virus than a smoke particle? It makes no sense. It's viruses are spread from hard surfaces, touching them, touching your eyes, your nose, your mouth, or some tissue, and it gets in. All right. Then why are we doing all this other stuff? And why are we shutting down, destroying businesses and lives? Over something that doesn't seem to be any different than a terrible flu. Mm-hmm. And then you go, wait a minute. The government is actually shutting down businesses, and including that, the red flag is they shut churches now.
Yeah.
No assembly. Yeah. I'm going, red flag, something's wrong here. Yeah. Never been done anywhere else in history, not in the United States.
No, totally unconstitutional.
So anyway.
Yeah,
that's my soapbox.
We need to be more
discerning. We need to be bold and being willing to sacrifice. And that's our biggest problem. We're not willing to sacrifice anything. I want my comfort. I want my stuff. I want my circle of people. And I'm willing to compromise on whatever the scripture says in order to have that, because God wants me to be happy. You know,
oh, yeah.
that's the biggest threat to the church, and because it's the biggest threat to the church, it's the biggest threat to the nation.
Right. Yeah, it reminds me of a famous quote. the only thing necessary for triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know, if you think back, even American history, the Civil War, how many pastors were involved in that? I mean, who literally walked out of their pulpits and took up arms and started to lead people? And how many lost their lives? Mm-hmm. You know, you look at the beginning of the Revolutionary War, those people in that one little square decided to stand up against British troops, and a handful of them gave their very lives. But okay, but it sparked.
Yeah.
It lit a flame. And the problem is we don't have people willing to sacrifice jobs and careers and houses. They aren't willing to. Mm-hmm. And as long as we aren't willing to, we aren't willing to say anything, then Satan isn't resisted, and he will run roughshod and destroy it.
Mm.
Do you think sometimes we lose sight of the real enemy? You know,
always
easy for us to point fingers and say, well, he's the problem, she's the problem. Yeah. But Ephesians 6 says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood.
Yeah, absolutely.
We wrestle against powers and principalities and rulers and chieftains in high places.
Yes.
Then we have that great, you know, it continues on how we have our spiritual armor, you know, to protect us. But, you know, armor was, you know, there was a reason for that. You know, it wasn't so you could, you know, hang it in the closet and say, you know, I've got my armor. Or I used to tell our kids in our church, you know, you take our spiritual armor, we hang it on the bedpost, and we get up in the morning and we don't put it on. And then we get whipped and we wonder why we got whipped so badly, but our armor's still hanging on the bedpost. You know, so I think it's critical that we keep our eye on where the real enemies. I think it was you who said, you know, how the enemy every day the scripture says that the enemy goes back and forth and back and forth accusing. He's the accuser of the saints, you know. Mm-hmm. And if we buy the accusations, we just lay down, you know.
Yes.
You know, we've got to be engaged. Oh, my gosh. You know.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, where did that exact? Go ahead, Paul. Finish. I'm sorry. Yeah, well, I got another thought, Paul.
I Jerry Boykin. Do you know the retired Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin?
Yeah.
Jerry Boykin. He spoke at a conference in 2008, and it was a conference in Israel, but he was speaking to believers. You know, mm-hmm. because Boykin's a real committed believer, right. And he says. He says, one day we're going to, he said, I'm going to, this is what the Spirit shared with him to say. He said, one of these days we're going to stand before the gates of heaven, and some of us want to be able to walk up there in a white robe, and we want to sing Abba Father and Amazing Grace, and we want to say to the Lord, I worshiped you. He said, but I want you to think about this. Here's the way I want to enter the gates of heaven. This Lieutenant Colonel. He says, I want to come skidding in there on all fours, and I want to be slipping and sliding, and I want to hit the gates of heaven with a bang. And when I stand up and I stand up before Christ, I want there to be blood on my knees and on my elbows, and I want to be covered with mud, and I want to be standing there with a ragged breastplate of righteousness and a spear in my hand, and I want to say, look at me, Jesus, I've been in the battle, I've been fighting for you.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
And I think we can't afford to lay down, you know.
No,
I mean, every day, you know,
that's why
we need to pray for each other, you know.
That's right.
My goodness,
that's right. So, especially when you start serving, huh? That's great, Paul. Exactly, Ron. Tank, it looks like our time ran out again. I'll leave you with a thought Denzel Washington said that really hit me. He said, when you go to bed at night, make sure you put your shoes in the middle, under the bed on your side. In the morning, you got to get down on your knees to reach way in there to get them, and then remind yourself, these shoes I got to walk where God wants me to be today. Denzel Washington's on fire for the Lord right now, just like Boykin. That's just something. Mm-hmm. Well, lady and gentlemen, there you go. Yeah. It's so great to be together. All of you that are listening in tonight, we're going to close off now. We came to the end of our time. you know, check our website. There's places there you can go to. Information's up about Ron and other things are up. So you'll know where to send some questions or ideas you have. Make sure you talk with us so we can pray for you individually and collectively. So thanks so much. We sure love and appreciate you and sure love and appreciate you guys. Thanks for being here tonight. Great to be a part of the Raising Expectations family, all of us. All right. On behalf of everybody, have a great night and we will see you. TJ, I know you're there. We'll see you next week, folks. We're signing off. God bless you. Have a great week. And remember what we said tonight. Keep your eyes on Jesus. He'll show you where to go.
Bless y'all.
Bless you guys. Thank you.
I really hope you found it engaging and at times humorous, but most of all, uplifting, so that we may, with you, one topic at a time each week, become more encouraged to move forward to an exciting future in, as we always say, this thing called life in America today. So let not your hearts be troubled, your family, finances, faith, freedom. It can be a great future as we talk, listen, respect, and pull together. Please let me hear from you. You can reach me at 972-922-8556. That's 972-922-8556. Or Joe Schofield on Facebook or LinkedIn. It'd be a pleasure to know you, and we hope you'll listen in again next week on the BBS Radio Network.